thank you very much again to all of you for your talks about Russian cosmism, which were very different talks. So Michael Hagemeister questioned the identification of Russian thinkers of cosmism like Fyodorov with scientists like Tsiolkovsky and pled for more close readings to see the differences between the thinkers and the scientists, while Anastasia Gacheva actually did the opposite. Against that, she very convincingly described cosmism as a world movement to explain the place of the human being in this world, and as a movement which we would actually need until today. And Angeliki Charistou presented different artistic applications of cosmism in their time. So remembering what Anastasia Gacheva finished her presentation with, saying that the object of art was being the human being and not any paintings or sculptures, I was wondering if you could say something about this human being, how it was actually supposed to be changing with these artworks you presented to us. Did you meet any comments on that in your research? You have.
I think the whole discussion started as those artists wanted to create or search new ways of perception. This did not involve only or exclusively cosmism, but it was also something that was supported by Uspensky's theories in the fourth dimension. So I think it's really a premonition of a future society that in which these artists were trying to prepare for and to prepare the world as well.
Okay, thank you. To say about that?
Можно я тоже два слова?
Allow me to say a few words here. Let me just show one illustration. We have had a very good picture here. We have had a very good picture here. Sorry, I need to look for one more illustration. Look in cosmism. Look at those pictures. They're geometrical figures, squares, rectangles. Now let's look, and here I need your help, because here we have the world. It's a view of the cosmos, but we have no man here. And in order to see the different approaches, the very wide differences, and the diversity of this cosmic philosophy, and how differently cosmists look at the world, I need to show you another illustration. On the other hand, let's take Chikrygin, which polemicizes with Malevich. He says that this is an artificially constructed world. He says this is an art that looks at an external factor to support man. But the most important synthesis of all art lies within man, not outside man. He says that man is at the center of art. It's a creation of art. It's this, the creation of nature that are incomplete. There is still decay. There is still death. And that is why we need man to be at the center of art. And I'd like to show you some illustrations. Angelika has shown a picture of Transfiguration, the icon of Transfiguration. Look at the two works of Chikrygin. transfiguration, the transfiguration of body into spirit, and three figures. This is an attempt at showing the different ways and means of transformation and transfiguration. Here we have the old icons of transfiguration, these religious images as the origin, as the source of these works of art. Christ that transfigured, that changed his physical form. That was fullness. That was a full transfiguration. And here we have, I'm sorry, there are some of my comments coming from the audience. The interpreters cannot interpret. Here we have the transfigured bodies. This is what the cosmos have called the spiritual bottle.
Very much for that. Yes, I can see. Michael Hagemeister, I was wondering if you could say, well, we heard about the arts, we heard about scientific theories which were close to the cosmos, and I was wondering what about medicine at that time? Could you say something about medical scientists or people like Alexander Bogdanov, who were also in this realm of cosmism, how they can be related to Fyodorov and his model of cosmism? Where do you see differences? And could one say Fyodorov has radicalized medical ideas of his time, the promise of life prolongation, which was a very concrete and practical interest of doctors since the second half of the 19th century. Just to add up to the historical
First of all, I would stop talking about cosmism. Let's talk about Fyodorov, let's talk about Bogdanov, but not call them cosmists. Bogdanov and Fyodorov, they are sometimes compared. The one wanted to come to overcome death, Fyodorov, to resurrect all the ancestors, and the other wanted to prolong life. That's a difference for me. Bogdanov never aimed at overcoming death. This is often misunderstood. And all his, Boris Groys, he has explained the mutual exchange of blood had the only aim to improve life, to prolong life, maybe for 120 years or so. If you read his novel, Krasnaya Zvezda, The Red, Red Planet, the Martians, they all die, sometimes even by euthanasia or euthanasia or even suicide. But there is that, and there will be that death. How to compare Fyodorov and then put them all both together under the label of cosmism? No, they are very different. Methods of life prolongation, they were rather common in the 1920s. Take, for example, Steinach. And yes. You are the specialist on that question.
I was just wondering if you could say Fyodorov radicalized these medical attempts of the time, because you explained to us 4 or 5 points how to understand Fyodorov's ideas in their time, without mentioning medicine and these people like Steinach, who were also outside of Russia, popular with these attempts and ideas.
Yes, Fyodorov, he was,
in a library.
I understand him, And I must say, I spent about 10 years reading Fyodorov and writing my book. So I think I know him quite well. He relied only on these mechanical materialists like Büchner, Vogt, Moleschott, and so on. And I don't see any connections to the medicine of his time. And I want to stress again, I see the differences. I see the differences between Fyodorov and Bogdanov, and I don't know why to use the label of cosmism for both of them.
Okay, maybe you can answer this question of Michael Hagemeister, why to use the label of cosmism to all these people you presented?
Well, not to all the different people. I have tried to highlight the most important proponents. And I think it's very important to, first of all, differentiate between the scientific and scientific branch. Anti-entropic action, extension of life. We have Vernadsky, Chizhevsky, Krumsky, and many others that were scientifically oriented. They are more in the anthropological telology. When we have Solovyov, Berdyaev, Florensky, and in the 20s, where Hagemeister studied most of the cosmos, there was also the idea of synergy, the cooperation between man and gods, the completion, the perfection of human history. That was the noosphere. In other terms, in religion, it's called kingdom come. And Solovyov has talked about nature as having a double impermeability. Two things cannot be at the same time, at the same place. And what is the principle of the kingdom come? The principle of love and all unity. I must respond to you, Mr. Hagemeister, when you said that Fyodorov never talks about God. You cannot say this. At the center of Fyodorov, you have the principle of Troitsa, or the Trinity. Trinity is a word that is always connotated with religious connotation. And Fyodorov talks about the Trinity being the principle of perfection, a creative principle where we have God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They do not fight with each other. They do not reject one another. They are ideally together. And this is also the ideal of collectivism. It's also a Soviet project in a way. But love is important here, where every person, every individual is unique. That is one thing. They are all unique, but still they can only exist in interaction, in unity. And this is also the secret of the social issue. And Fyodorov Hudson, the society must be constructed life like Trinity, and this is a Trinity that must encompass the whole planet.
I would like to ask you only one question. I do it in English. Yes, of course. If you read Fyodorov, it's full of Christian symbols. He speaks about Troitsa, the Trinity, and he speaks about Carstvo Božje. I know that. But do you know any point where he speaks about God's intervention into the task of resurrection, which is, as far as I know, only accomplished by mankind itself?
No. Super moralism. I can give you a concrete thing. when Fyodorov talks about the human race as a collective artist, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God, the idea of inspiration, what is creativity? Take the religious icons. They are inspired by God. It's a synergy. Every theologian would say there is this synergy. And Fyodorov had this very important term of a non-cathedral liturgy. We have the liturgy in church, but Fyodorov said our common cause is a universal liturgy outside the church, where we are going to transform the world and where God will be at work. Because we have this interaction, we have this synergy. We have one more example in the 20th century. A surgeon, Nisinyetsky, who has talked about, he has written about operations, but he was a religious person. Well, when he was performing operations, he was praying. And Fyodorov talks about this liturgical, liturgical approach, this prayer. Fyodorov, in this sense, focused on religion as well.
If I understood him as a religious thinker, I wouldn't have spent so many years writing my thesis. I took him as a pure materialist and solving one problem, which was very, at that time.
Let me respond. I must respond to this. In contrast to Eastern religion, we have Christian materialism, because what is Christ doing? He controls nature. He awakens the dead. This is a materialist action. In the beginning of Christianity, people laughed about the Christian. They said, what kind of religion is? Why should you resurrect the dead? But Christ always focused on resurrection. That is to say, Christianity always talks about the total transformation of material reality. So this is the principle of art. It is the spirit that gives the material form its perfection. There's so many things to be discussed. And Fyodorov is a sacred materialism, a religious materialism.
Conception. But anyway, I don't think we will solve this problem this evening, and we will continue our discussion. We know each other since many, many years. And I know your position. I know the position of your mother. And okay.
So it has a long tradition already.
One thing I would like to say: the reason why I came, I was fascinated with Fyodorov, and I took him as a materialist. It was 40 years ago. I was a leftist. I read Adorno, Horkheimer, Walter Benjamin, Ernst Bloch, and everywhere I came across this problem of the victims of history. What is with those people who died, who suffered, who contributed to the future realm of freedom? And then I came across Fyodorov, and he asked the same question, and he had a solution. Yeah, and this was the reason why I got fascinated and why I started to read Fyodorov and why I wrote my book on Fyodorov. But this was, for me, it was not a Christian, it was not a metaphysical solution, but it was, and I showed you.
It was a question of real action, right?
And please allow me another. We spoke several times about the second law of thermodynamics. This is a good example to see, to show the differences between the so-called cosmists. Flyansky, he acted actively. He said culture is a nicentropian force, and he acted, he accepted this second law of thermodynamics, and he looked for a solution, and he said, well, culture activity is a force against the increasing entropy. On the contrary, Tsiolkovsky, he denied the second law of thermodynamics. He said it doesn't work. It doesn't mean anything. No. It's so for him it was no. He simply denied it. And in Fyodorov, there is no trace of entropy or thermodynamics. So I see only differences there.
So maybe that's the difference between a historian and a philosopher. Two sentences, please.
Well, of course, indeed, it's true what you said about Tsiolkovsky, although Tsiolkovsky had a number of works where, of course, he has this kind of circular approach. Tsiolkovsky is really a difficult person. Tsiolkovsky cannot be attributed neither to the scientific nor the religious branch. Of course, he is close to the scientists, and of course, it's very close to Jules Verne as well, this utopian idea. But we cannot deny the fact that they met Fyodorov and Tsiolkovsky. We have been able to show one thing in the recently. Tsiolkovsky has met Fyodorov, and he has written about how to write a cosmic apparatus in 76. He said, I walked across Moscow, and I was happy because I'd think about such a cosmic apparatus. So this idea of cosmic apparatuses developed. So there is still such a lot of work to do. And of course, as I said, I do agree, Tsiolkovsky is a difficult person. And Fyodorov was a personalist. He focuses on the individual person. He always talks about each and everyone individually. Tsiolkovsky, he doesn't think about individuals.
Very, very sorry. But speaking of the materialism of Fyodorov, you, Michael Hagemeister, mentioned that it was the technology which should be developed to overcome death. And I was wondering if you could say something about the artistic technology that was developed in the 20s, so after the Russian Revolution, the notion of technology, if that has somehow changed after the revolution, and how that might be related to Fyodorov's notion of technology.
Well, I'm still at the first part of my research, but absolutely, art, at least considering concerning cosmism or maybe concerning space exploration. Of course, it's very, very different in the 20s, and. I think I can discern two phases regarding cosmism or cosmic thinking, if I could use that term, in art. I would say there is one phase that is more abstract, more philosophical, and then there is another phase, the second phase, that is more practical. I would say that definitely, apart from Vasily Tsikrigin, I don't think that the artists would like to find in Fyodorov a theory that they would just like to follow without any thought. I think at that time, at least in the formation of the avant-garde groups, what artists wanted was not to follow any theories, just to form their theories or just to create new concepts and
to experiment.
Exactly, and to experiment. Disobedience, I think, was their new thing at that time. But in the 20s, it was, I think it was very different because everything had changed in their political and social life. And I think the concept of building and building into the future had, of course, infiltrated their artistic program. Everything was really more practical. And, of course, we see a lot of artists, like Krutikov and or Kudryashov, for example, who were aware of Tsiolkovsky. So it's... can we speak about Tsiolkovsky's cosmism or okay? And
created cosmic ethics, and he, mm-hmm. he always spoke about. But yes, and he called himself a panpsychist and a biocosmist. Mm-hmm. So cosmism exists.
Okay, it's okay. Okay,
but it's different from Fyodorov, that's all.
Yes. So I think for me at least, the stage where I'm now, I find, like I did in my lecture, I think there are some concepts, some abstract notions maybe that have to do with perception and aspirations about the new man in Fyodorov. Mm. And then in Tsiolkovsky, we see a more practical side, an actualization of certain concepts in cosmism, which we can also see in the 20s in the artists. Yeah.
Thank you. Now, since we have a discussion, I want to open our discussion now and ask you all, our listeners, to put up their questions. And maybe you, Michael Hagemeister, get back to a question which was raised before about the historiography of cosmism in Die neue Menschheit.
Yes, there is a bibliography in this book, not separately, but in the footnotes you find lots of bibliographical data and but there is also a lot. Sorry.
Thank you very much, of course. And I think I'll buy the book and try to read it. But there's a difference between a kind of chronological historiography and
It's just that for people slightly outside the subject, trying to understand it when it's so pan-disciplinary. Despite the fact that there's a lot of recent scholarship, and of course your book, which, am I right in thinking it's only published in German or Russian, your 10-year study?
No, this is only in German.
In German, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The kind of, I would like to maybe ask the organizers if to the people who've come to the conference, at any rate, the PDF of the chronology in the exhibition could be made available, because it's not in the press pack. It's just very difficult to understand as well the historiography of scholarship on it and the difference between what I would call, might one say, proper scholars and the weirdo element. Because obviously,
that's the point.
It is the point, and there is a weirdo element, and I wanted to say that in your first picture of him, I immediately thought of my own very strange experiences with William Blake. I was taught William Blake at Oxford by distinguished scholars. Never at any moment when we were trying to grapple with his unbelievable quasi-biblical universe or anything else, was it suggested that analogies could be made with schizophrenic art or schizophrenic writing or anything. It was completely straight. Many, many years later, I understand Blake in a completely different way. as somebody who was a kind of a self-educated quasi-genius constructing his own cosmology with his own goodies and baddies, with a complete biblical infrastructure, a complete Michelangelo-esque infrastructure, whatever you like. But obviously, he was a system-building eccentric of the late 19th century. And it was never, ever suggested to me when I studied him as a romantic poet with the grandson of Jonathan Wordsworth, there was anything strange or eccentric or anything about him. It was just like, do you understand this or don't you understand it? And it seems to me that possibly, and I haven't read your book, but possibly Fedorov is very similar in many interesting ways to, as a phenomenon, to a phenomenon like William Blake. Would that be a ridiculous suggestion or not? Learned, I mean, Blake was an extremely learned person as well, a very artistically educated person.
So, does William Blake belongs to the Western branch of cosmism? I mean, we have learned that Henri Bergson, Théa de Jardin, but maybe...
Oh, yes, I think we can. This is a question of definition. It depends on the foundation on which we base our definition of this or that teaching and doctrine. I mean, I have already talked about a number of cosmists, international ones, and they have interpreted man and the place in the world in a new way. They fight against entropy as a stage of an active, creative revolution that perfects man and brings nature into a new and more perfect stage. It is also the idea of the perfection of both man and nature, which is very close to the religious idea of heavenly kingdom and the space where men unite. And of course, we have to look at Europe in general, because this idea of relation between macro and microcosm, this is nothing typically just for one country. It's a global philosophical question. And cosmists make all of this active. And as I have quoted Florence, the idea of making world a cosmos, making the world a cosmos that is beautiful, where we have harmony. That is to say, the task of man to harmonize the universe is important. And there is also one principle important for oftentimes cosmism is considered to is equaled with something violent, where, so to say, man stamps into the world and brushes everything in it away. But Florensky said man and world is the relationship between husband and wife. It's a relationship from between equals, subject to subject. And the universe is one of the subjects to which man is related. Man and the universe look at each other. They're equals. And Florensky says, who is the active part? It's the man. And here, saying that this global relationship is like the relationship between man and wife, man symbolizing man, which has the task to look after the wife, to go behind her, to direct her. This is responsibility. And the Russian avant-garde used this, the Holy Family, Finonin pseudonym, Sabalotsky, a wonderful poet of the avant-garde. And he also looks at nature, every living being that where people have the responsibility to overcome this mutual killing, this mutual devouring, where, say, the wolf can live with the sheep without destroying it.
Left it to Anastasia Georgievna. No, I just must confess, I do not know William Blake good enough to compare him with Fyodorov or to. Sorry, I cannot answer your question.
Okay.
But I was wondering whether he also belongs to the Western branch.
Let's take up some more questions. Please.
Okay.
In the front here. Someone else back there? Okay.
Microphone is here. A very short question and something that hasn't been mentioned before, and that is, fast forward today, what ideas from the Common Task or from certain cosmists do you believe are the most relevant today? Why does it matter today?
Well, I'm really ashamed of taking the floor all the time. Well, of course, it's a planetary idea, the unity of man, a collective subject of human which faces the universe and is faced with a task. Our most important problem is our fragmentation. Of course, we are close to each other. We have the internet. We have all lines of communication. We can move freely. We have single economic spaces. It seems we're getting closer. And even global conflicts that we do have concern all of us. International terrorism, one of those examples, it concerns all mankind. And in spite of all that, these common things, we cannot get together. We do not feel our global space as being our common responsibility, all and everyone. And Fyodorov understood it as humanity, as a family, dispersed in space. And it is an important process to get them together, to unite them, to regulate nature. Well, we have these problems of the ecology. And Fyodorov and the cosmists wanted the world to unite for that purpose. So it's a global, planetary, and optimistic idea about creativity, about fighting entropy, regulating nature. And what is also important is this commonality. We must not divide the world into developing and developed countries, people, the good and the bad, and the inferior and superior people. Fyodorov always says, we should not live for ourselves. We should live together for the sake of everyone, and the dead, of course.
I cannot answer it concerning cosmism. I don't believe in cosmism. I can only say I already said what I fascinating in Fyodorov, what fascinated me in Fyodorov, it was the care about the victims of history. He was one who presented absurd unrealizable solution for the problems of the victims of history. That was what fascinated me in Fyodorov, and that was the reason why I spent many years, and then of course I got also fascinated in the Fyodorov movement and so on. But this was the point why I started reading Fyodorov and doing research on him. The other cosmists are not so important for me, the so-called cosmists.
But
bravo, Mikhail, bravo, bravo.
But it's not only.
Это важнейшая тема в космизме – личность, которая призвана вот к счастью и совершенству. Каждый человек абсолютно. И поэтому у Федорова забота не только о будущих поколениях, как мы привыкли. И вот этот современная цивилизация, культ молодости, вот этого прогресса, движение вперед. А обращение назад, вспять. как бы увидеть человечество как единство прошлых, настоящих и будущих поколений, ответственность перед ушедшими, перед теми, которые в нас себя записали. И это как раз любовь, потому что нельзя заставить воскрешать. Вот, кстати, есть вот с моей точки зрения большая ошибка видеть в космизме тоталитаризм. И вот когда мы говорим, что вот эти вот миллионы, так сказать, которых погонят воскрешать предков, можно все что угодно заставить сделать человека. Съесть суп, там, так сказать, баршировать строем. Но нельзя человека заставить любить. А Федоров основывал свое общее дело, воскрешение, прежде всего на любви. Как он говорил, сынов, нас, дочерей к отцам. Это ведь тоже принцип, на самом деле, единства всего человечества, потому что мы все сыны и дочери. Каждый сын. Мы можем не иметь детей, но мы все сыновья и дочери. И это тоже принцип нашего единства, нашей любовной ответственности перед теми, которые, как говорит Федоров, нам дали, точнее, отдали свою жизнь. Так что я очень согласна, Михаил, с вашим каким-то основным посылом. Мне это вот сердечно очень дорого.
Thank you to both of you. I have seen many people, I have seen many hands being raised for questions. So please, you have the
mic. Yeah. Benjamin Levitsky, pianist und Komponist. Es wurde heute viel gesagt.
We've heard a lot today about scientists who are cosmists. We've heard about those cosmists who are really into religion, but we haven't heard at all about those who are composer cosmists or Scriabin, post-Scriabinists, Nabokov, and people like that. I'd like to hear about the musicians and composers among the cosmists.
Natürlich.
Well, I will answer that one in German. Of course, there are quite a few. The people you mentioned are counted among the cosmists, but it's really a transition period. And the question is, why have they been labeled as cosmists? Because Scriabin, for example, he wanted to author a great oeuvre that would change the world. And he is also somebody who is considered to be a successor of Fyodorov, although I couldn't find a single trace that he was influenced by him. But all the same, he is somebody who is generally rated as one belonging to the tradition of cosmists. I can say it just only once more, that label cosmist isn't something that gains me any knowledge whatsoever. I actually think that some of the artists which have been presented here, Florensky, have looked into his work for a long time. He's fascinating. But why should he be labeled a cosmist? I can't do anything with that. It doesn't get me any further. It actually just sort of plasters over all the cracks and the cracks, the differences. That's what interests me. I mean, nothing against his originality, but it's the very originality of the people I want to focus on and not this label of somebody being a cosmist or not. So that's why I said that in Germany.
Can I say a couple of words about Scriabin? It's indeed an important question to ask about the musicians. Let me tell you an interesting thing. At the beginning of the 20th century, there was an attempt at synthesizing arts, the Gesamtkunstwerk. So what would be the foundation of this synthesis for Wagner? It was a musical synthesis. And Fyodorov builds his synthesis on something else, on architecture. He says that architecture is the counterpole to decay, the construction of cathedrals. It's a different vector. Music is still chaotic and spontaneous. Architecture makes the world a cosmos, is vertical, always vertical. So it's an interesting field for discussion. When you look at Scriabin's work, again, what is the goal of the mystery of Scriabin? To it perfects the universe, to show the world in its entirety. And the cosmists of the 20th century, like like Mr. Hagemeister said, because he has also dealt with Gorsky, Muravyov, and many others, we are now publishing their work. And they criticize Scrabin for his approach. And there's also one more important thing to be said about the foundation of this synthesis, very important for Fyodorov, is this trinity, art, religion, and science. Religion gives the sense of purpose, gives a goal. Science gives the instruments, and art creates the image.
I was just told that we have only time for one more question, and then we have to finish for today because we're very late. So does anyone have already?
Maybe, is this the last question?
Where's the person?
Well, it seems like I've got a live microphone, so maybe it is.
Maybe you can stand up, I don't see you.
I can put my hand up.
Okay.
This is good. Thank you very much for a lovely talk, and I'd like to say thank you very much to the lady who's doing the live translation, because that's fucking awesome. It's fantastic, and feel very privileged to be able to have that thing. Yeah. My question is there a hierarchy of species of being able to be reincarnated? Is it only a human soul thing that gets to go into the marvelous utopia, or do the trees go in there, or the mice, or the voles, or like how is there anything? Oh, you've got your head in your hands already.
It depends on whom we are speaking. For Tsiolkovsky,
Just one more thing. Really sorry to interrupt you, but could you spell out the name of Jodorowsky? Because it's definitely not Jodorowsky, the Spanish mystic, but could you spell that name so I can do some manic
Googling
Tsiolkovsky
later?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on which language. English and American translation is transliteration is TSI.
IOLKOVSKY.
Yeah. So if we speak about Tsiolkovsky, he didn't like any inferior beings like animals, plants, insects, bacteria. He wanted them all to eradicate. He even didn't like Negroes, Papuas. I quote him, and all defective people, he also wanted to them eradicate. Only geniuses. He wanted to create a race of geniuses by artificial selection. That was his project. Fyodorov, he wanted to resurrect everybody. And then the question arises, and I remember well discussions with your mother in Moscow when people asked, and what about Hitler? Should he also be resurrected? Should he also be? It was Hitler. It was no other person. But then, and then she said, "But you better explain why also Hitler should be resurrected."
So
also always different. Tsiolkovsky had a completely other project than Fyodorov.
So please.
Well, you know, in cosmisms, amongst some representatives, they are selective ideas. There are two thinkers who have this idea of selection, Suchova Kabilin, I haven't talked about him today, and Tsiolkovsky. Suchova Kabilin, I'm not going to mention him today. All other cosmists always have said we need a universal salvation for each and everyone. And what does selection mean? It's a principle of nature. It's a principle to select a mechanical principle. The cosmos have the humanistic idea, both in the scientific and Christian branch. This nature is built on the principle of survival of the fittest, selection. It is imperfection. Christians have always said God has created a perfect world, but then came the original sin. And that is why we have the state of affairs that we are in. It is due to the original sin. That is why we have death. That is why we have disease. And that is why, both for Christianity and for cosmists, it is necessary to have this transformation, either to restore the heavenly kingdom in Christianity, or at least to make the world perfect, to restore immortality, to restore love. And this is also the principle of the higher animals being around man, horses and dogs, for instance, that have consciousness. And it's a Christian view to say man are responsible also vis-a-vis the animal kingdom. And this is also an attempt at perfecting nature. And this was also the same thing that Sabalotsky had. And how about Hitler's resurrection? Well, universal resurrection in Christianity. There is the apocatastasis, the general resurrection and salvation. What is resurrection all about? Paul has said that the man will be resurrected in a transformed state. He will have a different mental, spiritual level. And only after resurrection we will be aware of the sins we have committed when we have risen above the sinly being. And if Hitler comes back to life, he will be transformed. He will understand then what he has done in history. And the Christians, these Christian scholars, they have said, well, we have hell. We have hell to punish those. And did you ever read Dostoevsky's Brothers Karamazov? He talks about hell, this unbearable pain, this punishment. But in after resurrection, we have served our term, we have understood our responsibility. You know, my mother got this question about Hitler often, and she always said, when we say that we are not going to resurrect everyone, then this is something that we will have to do on, and we will always be threatened not with being resurrected. Because I can say, I'm a communist, I don't want the bourgeois to be resurrected. An Orthodox Christian will say, I'm not going to resurrect the materialists. Every one of us will put the blame on others. And we have a wonderful cathedral in Kiev, for instance. It's really a pity that Kiev is so isolated from Russia. We have the Vladimir Cathedral, where we have the Day of Judgment. And there, the central icon is the icon of two sisters. That have to separate because one goes up in heaven, the other goes down to hell, and they try to hold onto each other, but one of the sisters will go to hell, and both sisters, the one going up, the one going down, they are suffering. The suffering is seen in their faces, and Fyodorov says that we have to have universal resurrection. We will have hell for those who have committed sin, but it is not the only suffering of the sinners. Those who are without sin and go to heaven will look at their sufferings eternally, and this is as much suffering as being tormented yourself.
Constantly get signs from the organizers that we have to finish. So I saw many more hands with questions, and I have more questions myself, but we cannot bring them up tonight anymore. I ask you to come again tomorrow. The conference has a second part. We will be here tomorrow again and follow up discussing. I want to say one sentence only about the label of cosmism and defend it, because I think it's a thesis and an invitation to all of you to visit the exhibition and ask yourself which artwork is cosmist in what sense. Thank you very much to the speakers again, and thank you to the audience.